All right. So how are we going to do this intro here, Jack? Are we going to say, from the fabulous MGM Grand in Las Vegas, Nevada, in a hotel room somewhere in the West Tower?
Somewhere in the West Tower, you're listening to the BrianMadden.com podcast.
We couldn't find Wi-Fi yesterday. There were too many EUC-related sessions spread throughout the day, rather than being all congested into one opening keynote. And so it just never worked out to have this podcast yesterday, and so we decided to wait.
Yeah, by the time we got all of the information that we wanted, it was like 5 o'clock, and we realized that, you know, everybody was either ready for a beer or on the East Coast and, you know, already home or something.
So I'm about to throw this link out on Twitter and that, just so people can have it again. So far, this hasn't been... Leading up to, like, Sean and Sumit's session yesterday, we were kind of thinking, like, man, what's happening at VMworld right now in EUC? Because apart from, like, 20 minutes that Sanjay talked about in the opening keynote yesterday, there wasn't a whole lot of EUC conversation. And frankly, if we hadn't have gotten a little bit of pre-brief beforehand, we probably would have been really ticked off.
Yeah, because in the pre-briefing, which this should all be out in various blog posts now, you know, we learned about new features in Horizon and such that they just didn't get to have time to do in the session. So for those of you listening, so what happened, you know, the day one keynote, as usual, was not even a mention of EUC, or maybe one time they said the word mobility or something like that when they were talking about everybody's new work styles. And the day two keynote, of course, has always traditionally been the EUC keynote. Now, of course, the amount of EUC content in a day keynote has, at some years, been an hour. At some years, it's been like 3 minutes. So the fact that we had Sanjay Poonen on stage giving a solid, very fast speaking, he must have been taking lessons from Sean Bass, session on everything that VMware is doing in EUC. You know, okay, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and it was good to have a 20-minute, 25-minute synopsis, I'm sure, for the people that don't focus on EUC, much like it was great for us to get a 25-minute synopsis on NSX
and vSAN
and Docker and things like that. And so useful, but not tons of information. And so apparently to get the information now, the plan is you have to go mining for it in the different sessions, which is fine. It just screwed up our podcast plans.
Yeah, yeah. So so anyway, the, you know, the 1 p.m., afternoon keynote session or EUC super session. Do we say first, like, what's new? Because there were, you know, some specific things that were new. But to me, what's more important is that really it's from my perspective, it's Workspace ONE. And of course, Workspace ONE came out in, wait, was it January or February? I don't have the article in front of me.
I'm pretty sure it's February. At least the notes I have on it are February. Because I was looking up yesterday to try to find something that I heard back then, and so I'm pretty sure it was early February.
Yeah, yeah. So to me, the big arrival point was Workspace ONE. You know, we're getting more details on that. Identity and EMM features are improving all the time, and then of course beyond that, there's the big Windows 10 question that we were wondering, well, for the entire last year. So I guess where do we start? Because I can talk through and give some opinions on, you know, what they were doing in that Workspace ONE demo.
Let's go there. So they started by talking about identity, if I recall. So let's start there. They were talking about, I'm trying to pull up my notes, my laptop's now doing podcasting and all sorts of stuff too. They started by talking about, you know, just the old way of identity was Active Directory, and that was fine when everything was centered on the domain and all the applications and services that IT provided were on the domain, but now that they're not, AD doesn't work. And so identity needs to move up a level, sort of, and so that and be, now we need to assign the resources to the user's identity themselves, not computer accounts and user accounts in Active Directory. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, yeah.
To paraphrase it.
Because they were saying how, you know, so each one of these new cloud SaaS apps you go, a lot of times, you know, like a lot of companies, if you're doing it, you know, very tentatively or on a small scale, you're uploading a spreadsheet or you're inputting all these usernames manually. And, you know, if you're like most, at least, you know, mid-size and smaller businesses, you have a separate password for each one of your cloud services. There's an admin, you know, probably a line of business person somewhere that's adding your user accounts manually one by one, and, you know, you email whoever your Salesforce administrator is to get new permissions to do things. So they're saying that there are directories there. And then there's, you know, this other thing called Azure AD. And, you know, Azure AD it's confusing because it does several different things, and it's called, and it has AD in the name, but it's not AD. It's a cloud identity service, but it's also the identity service that's built into Office 365. And then there is...
Well, if that's not evidence that that's the way the world is going right there, that Microsoft shirked their own product in favor of another product that they created, you know, then that's a primary indicator that even Microsoft is like, yeah, this is about identity now.
Yeah, but the thing is that Sean and Sumit were very careful to point out is that in almost every single one of these identity management vendors, which VMware is one now with VMware Identity Manager. I guess actually it started with, you know, Project Origami what was that company that they acquired for that?
Oh, man.
I just had that on the tip of my tongue a few days ago. Because really all this Identity Manager stuff that we saw yesterday is, you know, traces its lineage back to Project Origami.
If you Google for Project Origami, you do not get anything about VMware. You get a lot of ideas for cool folded paper.
So there's that, you know, there's that video of Brian talking to Noah from VMworld 2010, and Brian, you know, wrote the article like, this is Project Origami and this is why it will be awesome. And, you know, here's what I like about Workspace ONE. So Workspace ONE, you have your access to native mobile apps, web apps, desktops. You can do that from, you know, web, iOS, mm-hmm. Android, Windows, Mac, and it connects everything to everything. And that connecting everything to everything, that's been kind of a long time coming, because I remember seeing slides with all those arrows connecting to everything.
Probably at your first VMworld.
Yeah, at my first VMworld, because this is my sixth VMworld.
Yeah, and I mean, all of us were like mind blown at the time, but then, you know, at the time we were still like, all right, next year you guys should have this wrapped up, right?
Yeah. Not knowing that, you know, like, you know, identity as a service was it really a thing in 2010 or 2011? Was Okta around then? Or, you know, those other ones?
I think that's probably about the time frame that we started hearing about them. They may have been around longer, but not on our radar because we weren't aware that that was what we needed to be doing in 2011, where they may have been a little bit before then or something. But, yeah, I mean, that was brand spanking new to us. And
yeah.
It was exciting.
And so now, you know, like, of course, growth of Salesforce, growth of Office 365, growth of hot new SaaS app of the week is now really making all this stuff coming into the fore like never before. And so what's cool is, you know, what I think is cool, and I've kind of been writing about and I'm going to be writing about more, is like all this identity stuff. So of course, yeah, you know, single sign-on and federation for your cloud-based apps, that's one thing. But, you know, single sign-on from native mobile apps, if the mobile app is done the right way, that actually works these days with a decent number of apps. You know, the big name brand ones.
Uh-huh.
You know, on managed devices, you can put down a certificate so that the user can have, you know, literally just one tap login.
You couldn't hear Salesforce enough, I feel like, this week.
Yeah.
We talked about that a lot.
Yeah. Well, they had someone on stage from Salesforce
on
Tuesday.
Yeah.
But the other thing that we're hearing about a lot this year is, you know, conditional and contextual access, and, you know, based on based on app, based on device, based on user. And so that's when they showed showed a thing where, you know, they have the user, they're in the workspace one doing some apps, and when they get to a more sensitive app, they say the policy is, okay, to get this more sensitive app, you know, we have to make sure that your device is encrypted, and we want to use the device's built-in Perat VPN features. So that means enrolling that device in MDM.
Yeah.
Sort of like on an as-needed basis.
We didn't get into this. I guess that they're assuming that you need this application in perpetuity, and so once you're enrolled, you're enrolled. It's not like you enroll, you can do your application, and then you pull it back off of there again.
So I haven't seen any demos of the unenrollment, but they say that unenrollment, when that becomes okay, is also part of that.
Oh, interesting.
The thing is, you know, they also mentioned that when that MDM enrollment process happens, there's also a screen that comes up that says, "Don't worry, we can't read your text messages, we can't look at your pictures, or anything like that." And
I'm thinking about the D enrolling in MDM. We're gonna get to this in a minute, talking about the Windows part of this. But does it like re-crapify Windows?
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing, and this is another whole conversation, and maybe we can have a podcast around this, like after Connect or something. But the bottom line is, this is my same soapbox of different types of mobile app management that I've been talking about for years and years and years. And you can go and see my session at Synergy that I gave about this. And you know, the bottom line is that there are still some trade-offs, and that a lot of BYOD users still aren't comfortable enrolling their devices in MDM. There are legitimate concerns. There are legitimate trade-offs between different MAM techniques. There's still a lot of FUD out there too, and so they've been speaking about doing it in a more nuanced and more flexible way, and using the MDM features in a more flexible way, because they're actually more flexible. You know, I'm talking iOS now, than a lot of people actually use them.
Well, the conditional stuff seems really important there, where, look, we want to use MDM, but we don't need to use it for these half dozen reasons. So for those, you can just operate out of this container, and you know that's no big deal. And then when we have to actually ensure the device has, when we have to apply policies onto the device, then we can enable those policies to let you use this in other scenarios. That's a blend. Like, that's a nice flexible blend. So you're not picking MDM or MAM, and you're not just fire hosing both of them out there across to everybody, saying, "Okay, y'all, everybody's enrolling in our thing."
Yeah.
So I mean, that seems really cool.
And the other thing they mentioned that I didn't see in the keynote specifically. So iOS MDM, it actually has like a permission based model where there are certain permissions, like view all the apps installed on the device or erase device. Those are certain permissions that when you enroll a device into an MDM server, like, it declares whether or not the MDM server is going to take those permissions. And of course, as a user, you can reject or deny that. But of course, if you reject it, then you don't
get it.
Yeah. So for years and years and years, most MDM servers have just taken all of those rights by default. Now, at the time that this, you know, sort of partial conditional enroll and unroll came out in June, they told me that they weren't taking all of those rights, which I think that's a good thing. I didn't see exactly, you know, for this situation, what they're taking and what they're not taking, and how flexible that is.
Yeah.
But like that's an evolution, and you know, more subtle use, more nuanced use of MDM. That's a good thing. Now, also, I think there's a little bit more that Apple can do on their side to make it, you know, more BYOD friendly. And that's the thing that I said, like, that's a conversation for probably another time.
Did they mention Android? Android seems to have not come up in this conversation. Is it just does Android for Work already afford you some of these capabilities, and so that's why it hasn't come up, or do they just focus on iOS, or is it just assumed that all this stuff works on Android, or?
Yeah, so Android for Work in profile owner mode, which is the you know, the mode that's typically would typically be used for a BYOD device, mm-hmm. Has like a, you know, there's much more distinct, like, what the or I don't want to say it's more distinct what the MDM server can and can't do. It's just that by default, at least, like, if you look according to the specifications in Google's documentation, it says like an MDM server in profile owner mode is not allowed to, like, communicate with the user side of the device,
okay,
in any way.
Gotcha.
Now, of course, Android 4, you know, there's still not many people are using it yet, and it's just going to take more time.
Okay, so where should we take this now? Should we go to TrustPoint? Should we go Windows Management?
So TrustPoint and Windows Management are...
They go together. I just don't know which one we should go to first. Yeah. I guess, well, so last year at VMworld, there was talk about, we had Project A Squared. We had talk about managing Windows with AirWatch.
Yeah.
And these were the two concepts that we left VMworld with, thinking, man, next year, we're going to go find these things.
Yeah, yeah. And so of course, the thing with managing Windows with MDM, like, it can push very simple MSIs, mm-hmm. that MDM APIs can, but of course, you know, with MDM, you're not reimaging the device, you're reconfiguring it like you do with an iOS or Android device. And of course, the MDM APIs, they can control UWP apps.
Right.
But of course,
Universal Windows Platform app, the App Store apps.
Yeah. But of course, MDM APIs can't really do much about, you know, 20 years worth of Windows. Is crap the right word?
I don't know, because it all works. You know, like, there's still so many companies that depend on that crap.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Let's just call it legacy.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know if that's fair, though, because that makes it seem like if you're using these, you're behind the times. And frankly, you're just with the times.
Yeah.
Basically, they showed us what I think might the future... I'm more convinced than ever that the future could actually be managing Windows via MDM, like, from AirWatch.
You heard it here.
Yeah, I mean...
Gabe is convinced.
Well, so I'm the salty old guy, right? And so you would think that I would be the guy that says, no way, we're not, you know, you're not going to change the way that we manage Windows because this is the way we've been doing it for literally since the beginning of Windows. I mean, my entire IT career has been spent centrally managing Windows in one way or the other with login scripts and, you know, SCCM and things like that, SMS back in the day. You know, basically the same stuff, maybe do product names here and there. And so last year, I was open to the idea when they were talking about managing Windows 10 with Horizon, or I'm sorry, with AirWatch. I think it was Noah that was giving that presentation last year. And
yeah.
All right, I can see where this is going, but let's see how they do it. And there's lots of things that come into mind, like how, like, this only works on Windows 10. There are all sorts of other services that, unless we've just completely embraced everything new,
right,
then there's all sorts of stuff that we have to be backwards compatible with.
Right. Because everything that you do to support your mobile devices, like, you know, app refactor your apps or something,
EFSS,
yeah. You would need to do all that to support Windows devices that were only, you know, in the MDM world.
Right, so you're not going to go to your Windows 10 devices that you just upgraded from Windows 7, your physical desktops that are running Windows 10 now in your enterprise, and just be like, you are AirWatch now.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's the kind of thing that I'm like, all right, let's give it a year and see what happens. And
well, because also at, and, you know, this is one of the big questions that we were always wondering. So, you know, okay, so they said app volumes to deliver classic Windows apps on top of AirWatch. And the question is, it was kind of always like, wait, what's going on there? Because, you know, does that have enough, you know, containment and isolation to make these classic Windows apps delivered via app volumes, like...
When that's tied into the identity, and then you can get it out to there.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. are the apps, you know, like, made... what was the word that you were using yesterday with the thin app stuff? But anyway,
not like, isolated, compartmentalized.
Yeah, yeah, like
containerized. Like, container's not the right word anymore.
The question was, So the question was, like, if you use this, use app volumes to put this classic Windows app down on this AirWatch managed device, yeah. like, does that, you know, classic Windows app
just work now?
Yeah. Or is, you know, suddenly MDM isn't enough to keep that world neat and contained?
Yeah. Plus, what is that app? How is that app accessing its resources too? Because in a lot of situations, we're relying on Active Directory to provide the authentication from an application to some backend service. You know, that's also tied to AD, and we're using AD to actually make that integration. And so, if we're still relying on AD, but we un-AD'd all of our devices, and now they're managed a different way, and now we're using identity with VMware services instead. Does that break that? Does it work together? There's things like that. Yeah. These are the new questions that we have.
And like now there's, you know, so now Windows 10 has AppV in the box, and does that provide enough?
Does that help anything? Yeah.
Does that, so
here's what's good about this though. These are new questions. They basically answer the old ones. Like this has to grow and change. Like we have new questions now because like, okay, you got there, now you got to do this.
Yeah. So yada, yada, yada. Some of these questions we just came up yesterday, and some of these questions we came up a year ago when we first learned about A squared.
Yeah.
But of course, what happened in June is that VMware entered into the relationship with Tanium to create TrustPoint.
Right.
So and they sort of made it, you know, pretty explicit how yesterday they made it pretty explicit how okay, Tanium has all of the is the big missing piece that's going to answer at least some of those questions, and some of the answers for a lot of those new questions, we just, you know, we. It sounds like they still have to figure them out. But can you, like, okay, so a description of what Tanium is and does.
So I see this as a security thing, and I think everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah, security.
Yeah.
that's good. We should have some of that.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. So, okay, so I've got my traditional management model has some room in there for some security somewhere along the line, whether that's, you know, antivirus, some sort of centralized monitoring, something like that. But everything's tied together with an agent that's deployed and updated via Active Directory and things like that. And so this is all, like, we knew that this acquisition happened, but this has only been on my radar now for, like,
not acquisition,
a
partnership. Day,
a partnership, right.
And that's something to talk about in a minute.
Yeah. This future acquisition. no, it's a partnership thing. Tanium.
Let me Google Tanium valuation while you're explaining how it works.
So we knew about this partnership, but only sort of peripherally. And so this has only been a thing in my brain for 2 days, 3 days now. When you ask Sean Bass, he says, you know, it's been years. So Sean's known about him for a while. And so if Sean's known about him, I'd buy it. Did you find a valuation?
3.5.
Okay.
Billion. So
million?
They might be a bit pricey right now.
Yeah. All right. That's a tough sell. Although, yeah, even this year it was like $2 billion, right? So to get NSX.
How big of a bet are you gonna place on managing
Windows
Windows devices?
Security around Windows devices, yeah. So back to what this is gonna enable here. This is gonna enable primarily security on these Windows devices to identify threats as they're happening, and to it gives you, how should I characterize this, Jack? What do they say? 15-second visibility into your environment, where you can actually, you know, you can use a sort of a natural language query to ask something of your environment to report back, and it takes like 15 seconds for your entire environment to report back to you. So you can actually get to the bottom of things pretty more quickly than you'd expect. That's the thing that like made Tanium famous.
The security.
Yeah.
Right. But then there's also like the fact that, you know, they were talking, besides the security stuff, using it for, because, you know, as we were saying, if you're just doing MDM and classic window local physical classical Windows apps are coming into the picture, you got a lot more things that you have to do. So they were talking in the context of what else Tanium can do to those devices.
Yes. 1 second.
Gabe is reading our notes
today. I'm trying to find our notes so we can talk about this, make sure we talk about it in the right context. If you were handing off to me and can keep going, that'd be great.
Yeah. So there are, bottom line is, But bottom line, and I wrote this in the live blog, and I tweeted it, is look at Tanium or TrustPoint, see what it can do. And also, you know, I've been saying look at Windows 10 MDM. I've been saying that for a year and a half, see what it can do. Now also look at TrustPoint and see what it can do. Because it seems like there's a lot of stuff in there.
And that's what I was checking the notes for, because I can't, I'm not capable of doing it justice right now. I just don't know enough about it. And I'm also very tired, but not like up all night Vegas tired, like just tired.
Yeah. So there was a Tanium session on Monday. Of course, this is before we knew
that we should care about it.
Yeah. So hopefully they repeat it today, or you can watch the video, or you can go down in the booth and pick somebody's brain about it.
Yeah, that's my plan. So today is all obligations have been fulfilled at VMworld with the conclusion of this podcast. And so my plan today is to just mosey around the expo hall and, you know, find things that are interesting. And that's one of the places I'll go, because we'll dig into it a little bit more. And then, you know, in the next week or two, we'll actually post a real kind of deep dive into what this means to us.
Yeah.
So one of the big questions... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, so I think, you know, the question, the biggest big question is, you know, and so VMware mentioned that this AirWatch MDM plus TrustPoint plus also AppVolumes does come into play as well. It's going to be some new, they're calling it unified endpoint management. It's, you know, of course, Windows 10 is the big focus, and all the other endpoints they've, you know, already been managing with AirWatch. So they're going to have hopefully a name for it that's easy to remember.
We already have a UEM.
And pricing information, and they promised that around the time of AirWatch Connect, which is
first week in October.
Yeah, about 4.5 weeks in October.
Interestingly, as a real quick aside, they punted some vSphere information off until VMworld Barcelona, too. So if you were, not that you were going to get it from this podcast or from Jack and I, but yeah, vSphere people are, that were here looking for, you know, big vSphere updates, they're not happy either. Well, they're not, I'm sure they're happy, but yeah. They'll have to wait a month and a half or so. So to put a bow on the whole Windows and managing Windows with AirWatch stuff, I'm sold on this. I mean, I think that this can be the future way that we manage these things, because it's way less complex, at least from the block diagram of how we manage these desktops. So
like no imaging, because they were talking, you know, just kicking this all off with you know, either an AirWatch enrollment or with a provisioning package, which is a Windows 10 feature.
Which decrapifies Windows.
Yeah.
And then
one of our big questions was, okay, the decrapification, like what does the MDM do and what does the Tanium do? And can Windows be decrapified to a degree that companies will trust it without having actually re-imaged it?
Right. And so, yeah, because right now, if you get an image that isn't the custom one you sent to Dell or HP or whatever, you're just wiping that machine and putting your own image on it anyway when it comes in, because that's what you've been doing for 20 years. And so is just the act of decrapifying Windows 10 enough? And it might be, especially because now we're managing it differently in a way that it's intended to be.
And this is also interesting. So this is like, I kind of feel like this is the big showdown with SCCM. Because, you know, Microsoft is still only recommending MDM management, you know, for certain, you know, specific use cases that, you know, obviously it's the ones that don't really involve much in the way of classic Windows apps.
Yeah.
And, you know, SCCM there's, I don't know if they actually call it SCCM as a service, but, you know, there's like the updates that come out every few months.
Yeah.
And so they're clearly fully 100% committed to that, and this is very different than that.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't go printing off your flyers for the title bout here yet, because there's a lot of stuff that has to be overcome first, because it may be that VMware doesn't even have this yet, right?
Like, it doesn't even have a name.
Right, it doesn't even have a name. So, so when this becomes a thing, that's great. It could be perfect if you were starting from nothing and deciding that I'm going to build my brand spanking new environment on Windows. But nobody's going to do that. the only people who are going to use this are people that move from a current traditionally managed Windows environment to this. You can do it in little pockets. You can do it for your VDI. You can do it for, you know, branch offices or departments, things like that. But in, but the more stuff that relies on Active Directory and domain-provided services, file shares, printers, things like that, those don't just move. And so there has to be a migration path. And so there's a, I've had this conversation with a few people around. Jack has introduced me to more AirWatch people than I ever thought I would ever meet. And there are, apparently there's some Windows guys there. And I cannot wait to talk to them. I'm kind of sad that I'm not going to Connect. So I can't wait to talk to these guys because I want to pick their brains and see where they're going, what their plans are. And, you know, I can also vent about what, you know, 20 years of managing Windows has been like. Yeah. Not that they haven't heard enough. But my point is that it's fine, even if the solution that they've, that VMware's put together comes out and is the best thing ever, if they don't have a migration path or some sort of way to get you from where you are today to that, I don't think it's going to be adopted that fast. Because the last thing we need is two ways of doing all of this. And so that's, I think that's going to be the next big challenge.
Yeah. Okay. So,
what else was out there? So there were
Horizon Time.
Yeah. Let's do that.
So, was there a demo of Cortana integration?
No, but I was hoping there would be so much. If you're listening to this, you're not familiar. Citrix at Citrix Synergy had in the keynote, they showed how Citrix excelled against VMware Horizon. In Cortana integration, meaning you could like click the start button and ask Cortana to start an application, and it would. And that would be a great demo if anybody cared. But nobody uses that feature. So that was kind of our joke. I even asked Sean Bass before his presentation today, and like, dude, you should show Cortana integration. Maybe they still don't support it, but you know, it's not that big of a deal anyway. So of the Horizon stuff, there's actually more stuff in other Horizon sessions that amount to some announcements for what they've got, what they've changed. They've improved performance in their Blast protocol. They've improved performance in USB transfer speed and printing. They've added microphone support and webcam support, things like that that have been around for a little while.
Support for that SwiftPoint mouse.
Yeah, they they did talk about that.
I
guess I have to get one of those.
So it's for iOS, of course, the same thing. I'm guessing like the Citrix X1 mouse, it's like a custom Bluetooth accessory for the iOS Horizon client.
This thing is huge. I wonder. I know very little.
It looks like this like knobby looking thing, but when the person in the demo video is holding it, it's like. You can't see my hands on the podcast, but it looks like it's not that big.
Jack's fingers are on one side and some are on the other, and his knuckles are curling.
But weirdly shaped.
I think it's for creating like 3D design. Yeah. So I think it's a special mouse intended for a special purpose. And so supporting that enables a new use case.
They weren't exactly. You know, saying like, "Hey, here's our version of the X1 mouse now."
I think if you know what a SwiftPoint mouse is, you're very excited about this.
Yeah.
Clearly, we do not.
Clearly, yeah.
Okay. So, excuse me. I'm sorry. So there's all that stuff. Things that they added. Blast 2.0 protocol is interesting, and they have not published any information about this yet. And so I'm going to wait to do a kind of a deep dive into that protocol. But basically, VMware had their Blast protocol that was built on their old... they used to do a virtual console for browsers that was built into like vSphere and stuff a long time ago, or built into ESX. And so based on that, that thing has morphed over the years into the Blast protocol. And then the Blast protocol, which has been around, I think, for probably a couple of years now, performed really well, had a really great user experience, but consumed a lot of bandwidth and took a lot of CPU processor to use it. And so PC over IP was sort of the de facto standard. Blast was there if you wanted it. Blast 2.0 is... VMware's leading with Blast 2.0 now. So PC over IP is still an option. Still, you know, they're fine with Teradici. But Blast 2.0 has been designed for modern computing scenarios, high latency wireless connections, things like that. And they've managed to get both the bandwidth and the CPU utilization down significantly from the first version of Blast. And so I asked for numbers. They said we don't have them yet. And so I expect that by Barcelona. We'll get some more information on that because I would love to put it to the test. I have lab hardware now, and so I'm excited to actually give this stuff a shot.
So just out of curiosity, is Blast a thing for just my browser-based scenarios, or are there other reasons and scenarios besides browser access that I'm using it?
No, Blast is their protocol now, so it's not an HTML5 protocol anymore. I mean, it is based around H.264. It can also use JPEG instead of H.264 video streams. But it is not a HTML5 browser type thing. This is their protocol now. So they can use Raspberry Pis as thin clients. They can use those Kangaroo devices that Sean and Sir Sumit was holding up in the session yesterday. That $119 Kangaroo device, the price has gone up. I bought mine for $99 on the recommendation of Pat Lee, who is like, Blast is awesome on this. and sure enough, it's a pretty admirable thin client for $99. You should just, if you haven't heard of it, go check it out. Yeah. Newegg.com is the only place I think that you can buy them. So Blast is really interesting because it's a new kind of generation of protocol. So
we'll look for maybe an article or video with more details on that.
Yes, I don't think I walked around yesterday. I don't think they're showing it here. Although the VMware booth is kind of L-shaped, so I think I went into I haven't seen the entire booth.
The wrong corner.
Yeah. Maybe it's V-shaped. Either way, I'll go see if I can find it. And if I can't, like I said, I think it's fresh enough that they just haven't gotten objective data yet that they feel like sharing. And so it might be until, like I said, Barcelona before we get that information. Because, they want to get information that's reliable from a third party. They just don't want to be like, well, VMware says that it's this, because they want people to believe them.
Yeah, yeah. So hybrid mode.
Biggest news out of hybrid mode for me is that they said they're going to make a Horizon 7 connector. I don't care about anything else about hybrid mode. I mean, I guess they do. But going to make a Horizon 7 connector.
That was like they added one more dotted line on the slide, and they're like,
it was an aside. I was busy taking notes, and you looked over at me, and you're like, they just said they're going to make a connector. And I'm like, oh, good catch.
And the dotted line went, whoop.
Yeah. my note was literally, they have to be thinking about making this work with Horizon 7, and then you lean over and say, they just said they're going to make it work with
her. Yeah, you were writing that note in the live blog while I noticed that.
Yeah.
A few other things they mentioned. So they had a big slide up that Epic is validated on some version of Horizon now.
Yes, and so the big deal here is that if you are an Epic customer, and I guess Epic customers know this, so I don't even know why we're spending that much time on it, but Epic would certify their software on certain platforms, certain delivery mechanisms. And so if the only remote desktop, supported remote desktop scenario for them was a ZenApp-based one. And so for VMware to now be a certified, trusted platform for Epic is Epic.
It's
awesome. So,
and this is the thing, at Bri Forum a year and a half ago or whatever it is, when in the keynote, Brian said the biggest difference in the industry now is that we have more competition in session based hosted desktops, and he said this is a big deal. This is like one of the things that he's talking about.
So VMware. When VMware came out with Horizon Apps, right, we said, well, this is a pretty easy thing for them to do. It's not as good as ZenApp right now, but all they have to do is go to citrix.com/ZenApps/features and then just be like, all right, we got to do that. And so they did that. Like it's basically caught up now. And so now they're on to other things. And they're like, well, now let's look at like specific vertical use cases and make sure that we work in those situations too. And that's what they're doing. And so that Epic thing is huge. I mean, one of my first Citrix jobs ever was doing Epic at the Cleveland Clinic. I mean, it's Citrix and Epic have been inseparable. And so to have VMware now in there as well,
if you're Citrix, how do you feel about this?
If you're Citrix,
Man,
yeah. I look. I'm not saying like Citrix is Citrix is screwed. They're done. They're out of business. That's not what's happening. It's just that like all of a sudden now, the competition is as hot as it's ever been, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. So, you know, the fact that they are adding a connector for Horizon 7 to hybrid mode. That's another thing. Like VMware decided when they released their cloud management plane, they were going to focus on Horizon Air only, which is Desktone, basically, DAS, which you could do on-prem or off, but it was cloud. And so that's where they started. And they're like, no, we're not going to do on-prem Horizon 7, where Citrix is like, we're doing everything. And now VMware has announced they're going to do support everything from their cloud management plane, too. And so honestly, the differences between the two are not that significant. They're not as significant as they used to be, I guess I should say. So the next year or so is going to be pretty interesting. I hope that we don't see Citrix lash out like they did at the keynote, where like they showed the Cortana integration and things like that. It was,
but also like
I know it's like
they said, you know, Brian wrote that article a week or two after Synergy, where as Carol said, like we're here, we're down to business. Like when people got to at that keynote, people were like, oh, this lashing out is a little bit uncomfortable. But then a week later, people are thinking like, you know, Citrix had to do that. I think several people said.
Correct. What I don't want to see is I don't want to see more things like Cortana. I want to see them be better than VMware at shit that people actually care about.
Yeah.
Got the explicit tag.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. So that's my point.
The competition is healthy for all of us.
Without a doubt.
We want to see it happening in good ways, not in ways that make us cringe.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I don't want to hear at the speed of cloud from anybody.
Yeah. Okay, so last few minutes of the podcast, any other EUC announcements that we need to cover?
They talked about using hybrid mode to deploy. Really, it was just a way to pimp their vSAN partners, I think. Their vSAN partners, like Dell, EMC, Hitachi, QCT, these companies that have vSAN ready appliances that you can deploy on prem to have on prem desktops, but cloud desktops. That are managed, with hybrid mode. I don't think that's new. Maybe it is. I guess I always assumed you could do that. So if it's new, hooray for catching up. So I can't think of anything besides that. I'm kind of scrolling through our live blog, which if you haven't seen that, I don't know how you got to this link or to this podcast, but it's on brianmadden.com.
Yeah, it's all up and posted now. So I guess the last other thing, they didn't announce it in any of the sessions, but they told me so next year AirWatch Connect is going to be co-located here with VMworld. And also they did mention that VMworld is going to be back here at Mandalay Bay again next year.
We're getting rooms at Mandalay Bay next year, dude.
Yeah, we'll reserve them now.
We tried to walk. I hit my like exercise goal and calorie goal on my Apple Watch when we got to the venue. Like,
yeah,
it was MGM to New York, New York to Excalibur to the tram is broken. So and to Luxor to Mandalay Bay.
It's 85 degrees at 8 in the morning when we're walking over to the keynotes.
Not bad, 86.
So
and it's 104 when we leave at 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So AirWatch Connect, I love the show because it's 1,200 or 1,500 or whatever people it is, all talking about enterprise mobility all in one place without the distractions of everything else. So, as soon as I found out that it was going to be co-located, I very made my opinions know that's like, you know, it sounds great, but like, you know, give us our own expo hall or make it, you know, at the next hotel over or something so that the... Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's a lot like Synergy was back when it was iForm, when it was smaller. You know, now it's like 4,000 or 5,000 people or whatever. But back in those early days, it was 1,500 people, and we were all there for one thing. You know, there wasn't Netscaler guys running around, and there wasn't, you know, cloud.com and ShareFile people running around. Like, we were all there for MetaFrame, and it was cool.
And even if you know, you could bring the Horizon stuff into AirWatch Connect and make it, you know, make it like the 3,000 person EUC conference.
Sure.
And next door to VMworld, the 20,000 person infrastructure conference, like...
I think, I'm hopeful that they can do something like that. I don't think they're going to want to have two expo halls. I don't know if they're going to want to have one expo hall on, like, in between two different conferences, or if that's even possible. I'm sure you can do it. It's Vegas. But I have a bad feeling that they're just going to be, you know, they're just going to absorb Connect into VMworld next year. And so
hopefully make them all at one end or something.
Well, that'd be great. VMworld's big. Like, they had to branch out. There are a few sessions at the Luxor, which, I mean, it looks like it's next door, but it's far away. this town. Two times so far this year? I don't know. Hopefully they make it back to San Francisco after next year. So they moved it because Moscone Center is going through a lot of renovations. They have to make it bigger. So maybe they're just postponing
Oracle is
World.
Coming up, so that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's VMworld.
Yeah, so like I said, today's my day to just go and cruise around the expo hall floor. You are going to Octane, which is Okta's conference.
Yeah, so Okta, you know, identity and access management and mobility, and they just announced, you know, like API management and really like the depth and breadth of what they're doing around identity is continuing to expand. And they had Diane Greene on stage yesterday. She works at Google Apps now.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
What an interesting world.
Yeah, no kidding. It's funny that they're both here at the same time, and we care about that a little bit now too. So that's cool. Do you have any plans for that? Are you going there just to check it out, or are you going? Do you have like a goal in mind?
So their big announcements were yesterday morning. They'll have a bunch of customers in the keynote today, which has. Last year, you know, it was really useful because, you know, these are kind of new, you know, identity-intensive scenarios that these customers are talking about, and it was really cool to see what everybody is doing with it, and, you know, we'll have some roadmap sessions in the afternoon.
Cool.
So look out for their announcements for that are all public already, but look out in, you know, later this week for my recap article of everything that they're up to.
Cool. Well, yeah, so we've got, we shot a video with Powwow yesterday. We'll get that posted. What they're doing is pretty cool. We may shoot some more video today. We'll see. We miss you, Justin, if you're listening to this one too. He listened to the last one, so he was kind of touched by that. So,
oh, great.
Seriously, Jack had to be you with the video. We do not know what we're doing sometimes. But we make it happen. So if I have to do video today, I don't know, maybe I'll have the one man show. We'll have to see what happens. But that's all I've got. You know, if anybody, I don't know if nobody said anything in the chat, but you know, if anybody has any anything they want me to look into more or something, hit me on Twitter, like @GabeKnuth. And if anybody has anything they want Jack to check out on at Octane, hit @JackMadden.
And don't forget, Connect is coming up in a month, so that's going to be, for a lot of this EUC stuff, especially the Windows 10 and UEM, which by UEM I mean Universal Endpoint Management, not User Environment Management.
See, that's just it. These AirWatch guys don't know what acronyms we've taken. So I got to have some words with these guys.
So let me try the voice. Live from the MGM Grand, you've been listening to the BrianMadden.com podcast. Thank you for listening.
Wow.
The good Las Vegas announcer voice.
That's not bad, Michael Buffer. Yeah. So, or his brother, the guy that does UFC fights now. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks for listening. And if you're on the West Coast, thanks for getting up early.
Yeah, this is fun.
So, yeah. Thank you, Jack. And, yeah, we'll see you next time.